Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Pete.
And my name is Ashton. Three of us, all three, back together again.
The old team.
Nobody's got COVID or big plops. We're all back together.
Yeah, I no longer have big plops. I took two podcasts off to deal with my plops, and I'm thrilled to announce that I'm plop-free. I'll never plop again.
In fact, no.
I'm just going to get more and more uncomfortable. And my abdomen is just going to sort of swell up, until I explode. Oh. But no more plops. So
wow. Hopefully that doesn't happen in the middle of a podcast.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see, won't we? We'll just have to flip and see. This is podcast episode 150.
No,
we've done.
It's not.
Is it not?
159.
Well, the running order's labeled 150.
It's 159, actually.
Yeah, it's 150 something.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, for God's sake.
We did 159 podcasts ago.
Wow. Well, I take that all back. It doesn't matter, nor what I said. Maybe it was 100 episodes. Maybe it was episode 150 while I was doing plops at home. I don't know. I swear I looked at the guide and it, the.
I'm pretty sure it says 150
something, but I don't think it's 150.
Damn. It's 159.
Maybe I just glanced at it and just
saw that 1.5.
Just saw the 1.5.
We've been on the 1.5 for a while. Hold on, I'm going to make sure.
We're going to double check. I now no longer believe
it's definitely not 150.
150.
I'm telling you that for free.
I feel really
stupid.
159. What an idiot.
It's okay.
Nine is next to zero on the keyboard.
It's 160.
Stop it.
Next
I don't
week.
Need that.
Go one away.
Don't patronize
in
me.
A sense.
Yeah. I know how stupid I sound is.
If you really want to celebrate, we can celebrate 160 next week.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't celebrate 150.
No,
we didn't.
So it was apropos that if this was episode 150, that we didn't celebrate it.
To celebrate. Oh, well.
Not really. We're just here, aren't we?
Does your sponsor rely on it being 150?
No.
Okay, well, that's fine then. So nothing hangs
150
in the balance.
150 cent blood on the sand coming out.
I just thought it was another thing to celebrate this week because it's been an exciting week.
Oh,
for
I'm
us.
Sorry.
Week of milestones.
Mm. Yeah, but anyway, it doesn't bloody matter. Thanks for ripping that away from me.
Sorry.
We could have all just pretended and confused everyone that it was episode 150. But it's not. This is our video game podcast, though. We really appreciate you coming along. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Each and every week, we're sponsored by a very real video game adjacent sponsor. I have the ad read in front of me now.
Okay? Yeah.
This week, we're sponsored by the viewers and listeners.
Wet.
What's going on with you two?
What?
It's wet. A bit wet.
Did you say wet?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It means it's a bit soppy.
Oh, I see. Okay. Gross.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit rubbish, isn't it?
No, it's good.
I know.
You carry on.
No, because normally it's a clever pun, but I thought, you know what? This is the time I'm going to...
Because it's the 150th podcast.
Because it's the 150th
because
podcast.
It's a special occasion. It's 159, which is a very special occasion.
Where? So we're brought to you this week by the viewers and listeners. You at home, we have hit 200,000 YouTube subscribers.
Thank
We've
you.
Just passed 9,000 Facebook follows. Mm-hmm. We've just passed 5,000 YouTube VOD subscribers on the VODs channel.
Hell yes.
We've just passed 2,000 TikTok followers, and we have 9,000 Twitch followers as well.
I was going to say,
how's Patreon? Patreon.
We're over 600 patrons. We've got like 615 patrons,
I think. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look at that. It's all coming together fantastically. And next week we're going on a
bear
hunt. Yeah, that's exactly where my brain. We're going on a buffet.
Buffet.
We are going on a buffet.
We're going to do an escape room.
It's a big
room.
Team
are we
meal.
Are going to do a buffet? And we're going to do drinkies.
Drinks.
We're going to drink pre-buffet. Because if we drink post-buffet, we're not going to be able to get drunk because of the amount of food in our system.
Won't feel the benefit, will we?
Yeah.
Mm. We'll be full of food.
Yeah.
So it'll be pointless. But
it's going to be great.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.
All of you for your amazing support. We've hit a lot of milestones recently and it's very exciting.
But that's a lie. That's not really the sponsor.
It's not really the sponsor.
We're not grateful.
No.
Oh, what? carry on. I'm just going to see where this is going because I'm confused.
The advert has been set up for failure. In a rare twist, that is the actual sponsor.
It is. It actually is.
And in addition, we're also sponsored by our wonderful patrons, all 600 and...
Something.
For as little as $1 per month, you can submit questions to this very podcast and get loads of other rewards as well if you go there, you know, and check out the flipping stuff. Patreon.com/team/jump/ Careful ooh, with
yeah,
careful.
That was. Oh, I just realized as it happened.
I don't think it did. I think that was just an enthusiastic forwards jab. I think we're kind of safe. But that's not all, is it?
Oh. No, we're also sponsored by facebook.com/team/triplejump, our Facebook page, where you can go and follow and like and join the Facebook page and get us to 10,000 if you wouldn't be so kind. Thank you so much.
It's going really well this morning, isn't it?
It is.
There's high energy in the studio.
It really looked like a rabbit in the headlights there, like that was your first ever time talking on Triple Jump.
I didn't know if I was meant to speak, and Ben kind of looks at me and I was like, oh no.
But it's flipping one of you.
Facebook.com.
I've been doing so good when, like, you guys haven't been here the last couple of weeks. Mm. I've been really holding it down.
Yeah.
I
have no doubt.
The one common thread.
Yeah, this month of March, I've been at every podcast.
Well done.
You pair, slacking. Yeah. Me, always
plopping.
Here. And I've been doing so good.
I've been now doing such big plops, and yet I've carried on coming in.
The plops have been off the chain, and I've still been
the plop chain.
The plop chain. Not the blockchain.
No, the blockchain. Are we intimidating or distracting? Which one is it?
I think distracting, because I never quite know what's going to happen or who's going to say what. No.
It's just like Dick and Dom.
Yeah. When there was two of us, I could gauge if like one person, the other person was going to say something. But now there's three of us. I can't make my eyes go both ways.
Yeah. See, we can both look at two people at once, but Ashton can't.
Mm. Yeah. Well, we can sit you really far back if you want. It's just like tennis. Yeah. You don't have to always look at people who are speaking.
Like no, I could
be talking and you could just stare at Peter for a while if you wanted.
Yeah,
like this.
I could.
You
know,
right, Ben. Totally I could just stare at Ashton and talk to you like this.
This would be a really normal conversation to have.
Do you find this uncomfortable, Ashton?
No, I like being looked at. Okay. I like the attention.
For God's sake.
But if I don't look at someone when they're talking, I forget to listen to them and the words don't go in.
Ashton, are you six and at school?
I just have a brain that doesn't work correctly.
Fingers on the lips.
Should we do question one?
Question one.
I think we should. We're all having fun today.
It's from David Lever, who says, hello B/A/P, delete is appropriate. Hello, Bap.
Hello.
Unpacking was a surprise hit last year, and I've been meaning to give it a go. If there was an Unpacking 2, chronicling the life of a video game character through boxes and box cutters, who would you choose and why? Personally, I'd like to see how Kirby stores his victim's stuff. Hmm. Keep up the good work, David, it says.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work, David.
Keep up the good work,
Keep up
David.
The good work, David.
I would quite like to have a Pokemon Red... unpacking where you have 151 Pokemon and you have to put them all somewhere in your house.
In your house?
Yeah.
Not in relevant biomes
no.
or terrariums?
Maybe in terrariums, but in your house.
Right.
Or maybe you own a small zoo.
Kind of like a psychopath's house in Animal Crossing, which is just wall-to-wall aquariums and fish tanks of all the animals you've stolen from the sea.
Yeah. Right. And then purely in terms of like having loads of content and loads of things to unpack and put away. You could have an Ubisoft character who has to put all of their collectibles away. In fact, you could maybe not just be one single Ubisoft character, but you could be like John Ubisoft who has to put away
Eugene Bisoft.
Yes, indeed. He has to put all of the stuff away that everyone has ever collected on an Ubisoft
so
game.
Many feathers.
Yeah.
This is where we keep the feathers. Mm-hmm. This is where we keep... I stopped collecting collectibles in Assassin's Creed games after that, so I have no more examples.
I can't even give an example, but there are many. Sorry, you looked at me as though you were about to add something. Any thoughts on Ubisoft collectibles?
Do you want me to sit next to Peter? So, do you want to swap places?
I feel like you guys keep expecting me to say things, and I'm not.
Well, we do.
You just sort of had a face of like,
or when it makes when you've got something to say.
Things to say about Ubisoft, but maybe not. But if you've got an answer to the question,
Danny Rojas.
I was going to say like pack away all of Danny's hats and shoes and boots and stuff. She's got like 100 pairs of boots.
Oh, in Far Cry 6.
In Far Cry 6, like she has so many clothes. And as someone who also has
clothes. The only acceptable one is the crocodile, the wobbly crocodile.
Yeah, the crocodile hat. That's the only acceptable one.
So good.
I like that you can give that any buffs that you want.
Can you?
Yeah, you can make any helmet look like another one. So you can put your helmet on that's good and make it like a crocodile hat.
Didn't discover that until way too late.
Yeah,
but I ended up just wearing the basic crocodile hat because, you know, you've got to wear the crocodile hat, obviously.
Ashton. Is it my turn to talk now?
It's your turn to talk now, Ashton.
I, simply because of something we'll talk about in the next segment, I think that I would like to see Cloud from Final Fantasy VII. Because where does he put his big sword?
Where does he put that? Where's it going to go?
What kind of contraption do you need to put that down?
Does it have a special room?
Does it have
on
a special
the dining
room?
Table?
Do you just put it on, you know, as you by your keys as you walk in? Like, where does he put it? That's what I want to know.
How many pieces of furniture has he ruined by forgetting it's on its back?
Yeah,
and sitting down. And
just cutting straight through it.
And can he get up off the sofa once he's done that? He skewered himself into the sofa.
Don't know.
That's a good question.
Sephiroth must have a similar problem.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Sephiroth as well. Mm. Yeah.
That sort of
I think most Final Fantasy characters probably you'd have to figure out. Do they have like a normal apartment, like a normal life?
No.
And then they just have one big sword that like is really in the way all the time.
You've got to be careful sitting down on the gunblade. That could be really bad.
Oh, yeah. Because I think it could go off at any moment.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
Yeah. But it must be, I mean, living in the house of a Final Fantasy character must be a nightmare because not only are there holes in all the chairs, but there's probably hair everywhere.
Yeah. Lots of hair gel, I reckon, as well.
Yeah, a lot of product.
Yeah.
Bathroom's going to be disgusting. Yeah. Drains are blocked.
Yeah, always. Lots of drain on blocker going down those showers, you know, for sure. But yeah, I would like to see how he puts his sword away, and that's not a euphemism. Ben, who would you like to unpack the belongings of?
I would like to unpack the belongings of Nathan Drake after Uncharted 3, but before Uncharted 4, because you get to go into his loft at the beginning of Uncharted 4, and it's full of like amazing artifacts that he's murdered countless people to get.
And he's got his nice cupboard where you open it.
Oh, it's full of treasures and stuff. Like, I'd love to unpack all of his stuff, you know, and just put it away on nice display cases and stuff. I think that would be nice. And yes, I have no further things to add, but the inflection of the way I'm speaking implies that I have more to say, but I don't. Right. So I will end the sentence here.
Thanks, Ben.
That's okay.
Okay.
Well, it's time for another segment now that we started while you were away, Ben. So it's a new one for you, but it's one we've done before.
You started a new thing without me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's time to do what we're playing. Oh.
It's what we play in time. It's time to talk about what we play in, or at least that's what it says here.
He's worked it out.
Yeah, you figured it out. How did you
I wasn't
know
here,
that?
So okay. Peter, can you go first, please, so I can copy you?
Yeah. So something that we discussed on two episodes while you were away is that I've been slowly creeping towards, for the first time, at long last, playing Inside.
Ooh.
So I played through Limbo, and I replayed the first Little Nightmares game. Because I felt like I had a bit of an itch for that sort of, you know, 2D or sort of 2.5D puzzler, physics puzzle, low UI, simple, atmospheric, creepy game. And I said in the last podcast that I'll be playing Inside this week. Although I've been away for a few days, I have played, I think, half of Inside. Philip, our writer, advised me to play it in one sitting if I can, and I'm sure I probably could have done, but it was getting late when I got to the bit, kind of not really spoilers, but spoilers, where you're getting like blown apart by shockwaves, and I was like, okay, this is like a new a new thing for me to deal with. And I died a few times in a row. And it was like, it was 11:30 or something. I was like, I think against my better Philip judgment, I am just going to stop here and play the rest later. But wow, really enjoying it. I knew that I would. Everyone said that I would.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, for whatever reason, never got around to playing it. And now I'm like, why didn't I? You know, what kept me from this? Where's this
what
been
were you
all my
waiting
life?
For?
It was more like Limbo than I expected it to be as well. Certainly in the beginning when you're sort of out in the forest, I was like, wow, this is just like 3D Limbo.
Yeah.
It's very, very similar. I now hate all dogs in the world. And I've never really liked deep water, but I also don't really like deep water anymore. Mm. Or I like it even less than when I started.
Fewer.
Yeah, fewer. I like it even fewer than when I started. But wow, that's a great game. And I feel like when I finished it, I'll probably just want to restart it immediately and try and play it in one go. Because, yeah, just really enjoying the atmosphere and the puzzle design and just the minimalist or complete lack of HUD, which is always nice.
It is excellent.
Mm.
It is an excellent game.
Don't know why I've never played it. But now I'm really enjoying it. Mm. I'm loving it, as Ronald says.
He does say that. He is known to say that, yeah.
Ashton, what have you been playing?
I have been playing two things. I've not had much time to play either of them because I was busy at the weekend, and then I haven't had.
What were you busy at the weekend?
We were a session.
Two sessions.
Two big sessions.
Actually, I'd say technically three sessions over the weekend, but that's okay.
And you've had some solo sessions as well, last night. Yeah, what did you drink last night?
About a quarter of a bottle of gin.
Excellent.
With some Fanta fruit twist.
But yeah, I guess you could still play games when
you're
drinking Fanta and gin at home alone.
I did.
Okay.
So I've played some more GTA Online with NB. We've been doing missions and stuff. I'm trying to save enough money to buy a weed farm.
Is that everything you can buy now?
First world problems.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have like 300,000, but I need like 600,000. So I have to keep doing all these missions. Can I just say, the game is stupid and it doesn't work correctly and all the controls are wrong. And also, doesn't have a smart UI. It doesn't at all. If you do a mission, once you finish it, it comes up with like six missions. But there is like a long list of kind of missions that you can go down and gradually kind of finish a story. And sometimes they link onto other ones, but sometimes it just doesn't give you those options and that's the six options that comes up after. So you have to quit out of it, go back to free mode, and then go back in again and start the mission from the like load mission screen, which is kind of annoying because it still takes ages to load into free mode, despite the fact that they're like, load times are half the time of last time. And I'm like, well, thank God, because this is
the
already
next
long
gen,
enough.
Or the current gen upgrade.
Yeah, exactly. I don't find it interesting at all unless I'm playing with someone else.
Mm.
We also did golf and tennis in GTA Online.
Yeah.
And I won golf. No, I didn't win golf. I actually lost both golf and tennis.
Why did you think you'd won golf?
Because I was winning golf for ages, and then I had one where it just kept mugging me off, where I'd be really close to the hole.
Mugging
and it would
off.
Like go in and then go back out of the hole. And every time he did it, it went straight in. But every time I did it, it would just miss slightly. And I was like, what am I doing wrong? I don't understand. But anyway, I've been playing that. And I have been enjoying it when I've been playing it with him / with other people, because we've had a couple of people from the crew join in with some races and missions and stuff. Team Triple Jump on Rockstar Social Club. You can play with me if I'm online.
Should we add that to the links at the end?
Yeah. Yeah. And then last night, I finally picked up, after it took like 4 hours to install, Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, yes.
The remake. I've watched MB play the start of this, so I'd kind of watched the bit that I played last night. It's a gorgeous game. My God, it's so pretty. And I was playing the PS4 version because I couldn't get the PS5 version to install on my PS5. I would only install the PS4. So anyway, I was playing that. And I'm really enjoying it. I've only played like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours of it. Whilst drinking gin, so I think I was getting way more into it than possibly should have.
That's no bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing. I just was really enjoying it, and I really like how pretty all the characters are. I mean, Jessie is really, really pretty. And
she
is. And then Cloud was being all like
Cloud's
suave and
too.
Sassy, and he was really pretty. And I was like, be still my beating heart, please.
Where do you put that people? Sword, though?
Where do you put Whoa. That sword? His sword's too big. Like, I don't understand why it's that it has to be that big.
I don't know, man.
It's massive.
It's bigger than him.
It's as big as him. Mm. It's
like
ridiculous.
A surfboard.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to keep playing that. I have Tiny Tina's Wonderlands comes out tomorrow, so I'm going to have Final Fantasy as my single player game, and then play Tiny Tina multiplayer.
Mm.
So that next week, that might be what I've played. Who knows?
Mm, amazing.
Amazing.
So cool. Has there been a Final Fantasy character who actually uses a surfboard as a weapon? Because that seems very much like the thing that they would do.
No, as far as I'm aware, but there is a sort of a surfer dude who uses a ball.
He uses his ball, yeah. He's from he's in Kingdom Hearts as well.
Is he?
Yeah.
Can't remember his name. He's in Final Fantasy.
No, I can't.
Team,
he's got like a headband on, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's very cool. Got good hair. Mm. More hairspray.
I've never played any other Final Fantasy games before, so
you don't need to. They're all crap.
No, I know.
They're all crap. All of them. Every single one. Every single one. Seven is the only good one.
But so. I've been enjoying this one, so.
Going to have to find out now what his name is. The ball boy.
Ball but boy.
Do tell us.
People are screaming. It's this guy.
I want to say Tifa, but it's obviously not.
No,
Tifa,
it's not Tidus or Tidus, who is the protagonist of Final Fantasy X. Go on. Who is he?
Fantasy ball
guy.
Guy.
Ball guy. Yeah.
Three of the main characters in Final Fantasy X, Tidus, Wacker, and
it's Wacker.
Ject.
It's Wacker.
Wacker.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Anyway.
Yeah.
Ben.
Yeah.
Now you've
figured out how to play this part of the game.
Yeah.
What have you been playing?
Well, it's episode 150, so I thought I should push the boat out and actually, mm-hmm. Learn how this section works for once.
Yeah.
I had, it's pre-plops, I had a friend over and we were playing FIFA 21 and we did a Champions League tournament where we played as, and I looked them up because I keep forgetting their name.
Wacker.
No, not Wacker. It is Dynamo Kiev off of Ukraine. And we took them all the way to the final. And there was a point when we were in the semi-finals, I can't remember who we were playing, but it was two legs, home and away.
Is this legs?
Yes, this is. It was legs. And they beat us in the first leg at home, which was 1-0. And then the second game went to like, it was, I think, 2-3 or 3-2 to us. So it was a draw. They equalized at the last minute and we had a minute left. And then we managed to run all the way up the pitch, score, and it was unreal. We celebrated like it was a real game of football. It was the most tense moment of
your
FIFA
gaming career
I have ever had, where they equalized at the last minute and we were going to have to go to penalties or some nonsense like that. And we managed to steal the victory right at the end. That was extremely exciting. I enjoyed that a lot. Sonic Team Racing. Played some of that. You played some, haven't you?
I have, yeah. A couple of weeks ago, I forgot to talk about it on the podcast. I played some Sonic Team Racing with a friend. Mm. Yes, all right.
It is all right. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's okay.
Apart from when you have to do a team race and there's only two of you, and the third character that's on your team is always at the back, regardless of where you place in the race. So we're just screaming at Shadow, like, we're in first and second.
Come on.
Where are you in 10? You're the computer.
It's a pretty cool idea, though. I like the idea of the team racing. Mm-hmm. You can split into, like, teams of three.
And slingshot each other.
Yeah, so whoever's leading out of your team, like, leaves a trail behind them. And if you go in it, you go a little bit faster and you can get some speed boosts and you fill up a bar so your entire team gets, like, a special boost and stuff. So it's quite a cool spin on it. The AI is flipping brutal at times, though. You just get smashed by power-ups constantly, and there wasn't really much feedback, from what I could tell, to let you know what you'd been hit by. Sometimes you just stop and be like, okay, I got hit by something.
And also, like, the power-ups would just be like, you have a green blob, and you're like, what does
what
green blob do?
What's the green blob?
You now have a purple one. Now you have a white one with wings, and you're like,
What does that mean?
What does it do? I guess we'll just do it and hope for the best.
I did have fun, though. Yeah. And I played through every single Grand Prix back to back with my friend. And now I've done it. I haven't even played the story mode, and I've played every single race. So that's kind of it. But yeah, it was pretty fun. WWE 2K20 obviously came out the week that I got plops and couldn't be here. And I've played a fair amount of that. And that's a pretty good game. They've really turned that around. Obviously, I'm sure you guys spoke about the fact that we did a Quipscope on it at the time. And people may have listened to it on the podcast feed already. But I played more of it. And it really doesn't like created wrestlers and created arenas. I think they've kind of fixed it now. But I downloaded a custom arena from the creation suite. And every time I went to go play a match and then pressed R1 to go to the tab that has the custom stuff on it, it was empty. Mm. But it didn't say no arenas. And I could move the cursor around and I could hear things were being selected, but there was nothing there. And then if I tried to back out and select a normal one, the game would crash every time. Like without fail. You tab into that custom arena tab, it's going to crash immediately. And that's kind of disappointing. Mm. But apart from that, the game is surprisingly stable compared to 2K20. And they've done a great job, I think, across the board. It looks fantastic as well, visually. Last thing I played, obviously, Elden Ring. Wasn't really going anywhere last week because I was stuck at home with plops. Mm-hmm. So I was able to play a lot of Elden Ring. And my God, it's so good. Mm-hmm. And last night, at the time of recording, I got the Platinum Trophy.
Proud of you.
Very good.
So it is, it's incredible. It's like every time you think, surely this is all the world has to offer, the world gets bigger. And none of it feels like filler. It all feels really intricately and deliberately designed. Mm. And it's amazing. And I'm looking forward to going back into the world and doing lots of side stuff that I haven't seen so far. Mm. And there we are. That's what I've been playing.
Wow. You did a great job at picking up a segment you've never done before.
Yeah, well done. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Well, it's time for question two now. This one comes from Richard Major. Richard says, "Yo, Bashta. This week, the Gran Turismo servers had a problem lasting roughly 36 hours. The problem had something to do with a buggy update, meaning people couldn't connect to the GT7 server, which in turn meant you weren't able to play multiplayer, or annoyingly, single player. Aren't always online games brilliant? Mm. The game is only a few weeks old, it costs £70, and gamers are gamers, so people were really quite mad. In situations like this, do you think the game makers owe gamers any sort of compensation? Hope you're all well. Love, Richard." Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
I can see an argument to say that maybe there's some call for compensation, but I think if so, it would have to just be like an in-game thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if there's like in-game currency or, you know, unlockable items. Maybe they could say, "Hey, sorry everyone, here's like 2,000 GT bucks."
Yes.
I certainly don't think there's any like financial compensation due there. Not because it's not a really crappy situation, which it very much is, but because I think then you're on a slippery slope for like, well, what if there's a major outage a year after a game has come out? Like, why is that different to launch? Obviously, it is different to launch, but then where do you draw the line between a year after versus 2 weeks after or whatever? So I think it's a bit dodgy in terms of financial. And also, you know, some companies can't afford to do that. But I'll tell you, the thing that just sticks out to me in this question is that the always online games are just rubbish, aren't they? I hate that as a concept. And I'm fortunate never to have been stung by it in a situation like this where I want to play single player, but because the servers are down, I can't play a single player game on my own console. But to hear that it's happened to a bunch of people who, you know, bought GT7 early, that sucks to hear and makes me mad. And, oh my God, I'm just livid. You can't hear it in my voice, but I'm ready to flip this table.
Jeez, I've never seen him
so angry.
I've never seen him so cross.
Calm down. This isn't who you are.
Always online DRM can get in the always online.
I thought we left this behind.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this still a thing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Stop it.
Please stop.
Enough now.
That's stupid.
Ashton, do you think compensation is due?
I think, like you say, in-game compensation would make the most sense. I think, people have since this has happened and fixed itself, people have figured out a glitch to farm millions of like coins from the game.
Hey, good for them.
The game, like an update, nerfed something, but in nerfing something, it made an exploit so that people, players, could just like generate millions and millions of like bucks by being AFK. So they kind of did get their compensation in some ways by just being like
proud of them. Yeah. That's great.
Good for you. But I think that, like you say, it's a bit of a slippery slope. But I think, like, I mean, one example where it kind of had to be done was obviously Cyberpunk on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Just not, it didn't work. Like, the game just, you couldn't play it. So they obviously had to issue full refunds and, you know, the game just isn't available on those platforms. But then you kind of think, well, if you issue a full refund for GT7, do you then take the game off people? Say, well, we've given you a refund, so you can't have that anymore. So no game for you. Or do you just give them in-game currency or offer them, you know, a free month as like season pass or whatever and do it that way? But I think Cyberpunk's obviously a completely different ballgame because it just didn't work at all. It wasn't even that things went wrong that was beyond their control. It was that they released it and it didn't work, which is their fault. But I do think that, I mean, all games costing like 70 quid and then being glitchy and not working or being like really buggy is obviously not something we ever want to have to deal with. I think it's a good thing people are angry. I think people have a right to be angry, and if you are angry, things get fixed. So they may, I'm not saying they will, but they might be like, now you can play online. You don't have to play online. You can just play single player if you want to, because people were so angry about it. So I think being angry and being vocal about that in certain situations is good, regardless of whether you get compensation or not. But I don't know if game makers owe gamers any sort of compensation, but if they were to be good to their communities and respectful of the consumer, they might offer something. But are they respectful of the consumer and their community?
Or do they just want that money?
Or do they just want that sweet mun-mun? Yeah.
That mun-mun.
So I don't know if you will get any compensation, but I think you should get a little bit of a little tidbit from GT7 to be like, thank you for bearing with us while everything was broken.
Yeah, like they're not obliged to do anything. No. And I don't think that anyone would in that situation as a large company. But yeah, I think it would be the right thing to do if they had an ounce of decency in their bodies.
Bloody always online.
Yeah. Ben?
Yeah, it's a crap situation. GT7 has had all sorts wrong with it, from what I can gather, as someone who is not remotely interested in GT7, especially with the microtransactions, and obviously the always online is a huge issue. It's sort of, I think it's got the lowest user score of any PlayStation exclusive ever. And, you know,
it's been getting review bombed quite a lot.
Yeah, review bombing, as we've spoken about before on the podcast, isn't necessarily conducive to change, but in this instance, it's not because, you know, because some people use it for really like crappy reasons. Like, I don't like that this character is gay or trans or whatever. But I mean, the outrage here is totally justifiable. I don't think anyone can dispute that. The microtransactions seem egregious. The servers are clearly a bit balked. I got an email along with several other people congratulating me for getting the platinum in GT7.
Yeah, I saw that.
Never played it, don't have it. I wasn't the only person to have it. And then I got an email like the next day saying, Gran Turismo 7's out now, buy it here. And it's like, what are you, who is,
why
what is happening
over
there?
I've already platinumed it, why would I need
what
to buy
it? What is going on over there? So yeah, people are crossing, that's understandable. I don't know, as you said, Peter, legally that they have to do anything.
No, don't think so.
But yes, it would be a dick move not to apologize by way of some sort of in-game item or currency or free something. Just give people something by way of an apology. You know, that costs you nothing,
yeah,
and it garners goodwill. and also maybe balance the microtransactions a bit better, because it sounds like, I'm not entirely sure, but it sounds like those were added after the reviews, which is sort of a Crash Team Racing.
It is a Crash Team Racing
which
move.
Which is really bad. That's an Activision level dick move,
oh, I didn't
which
realize
is another
Crash
level.
Team Racing did that as well.
Yeah,
they did.
After
yeah.
the reviews, they added in microtransactions, which is really crappy.
So the stuff was always unlockable with in-game stuff, but then they added a thing where you could buy the in-game currency.
And it
right?
was a massive grind to buy that stuff yeah. in game anyway, but people sort of tolerated it because there were no microtransactions. And they said, don't worry, we'll solve the grind by letting you buy it with real money. That's crap. That's really crap. So
yeah,
be cross. Hopefully it's all working now, and hopefully players are compensated in game.
Mm-hmm. I like that the game started working and then PlayStation Now went down for 24 hours. Well, it wasn't 24 hours, like 7 or 8 hours.
Yeah.
They were like, we fixed it, but they actually broke it now. So,
but all of our network is down. Sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Wah, whoops.
Sorry. Well.
Yes.
It's time for something a little peculiar, correct? Yes.
Yes.
Is it?
Indeed.
Yes? In honor of 150.
The 150th episode of the podcast means that we have to do weird news.
Oh.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird video game news. Did I take you guys by surprise there?
Yeah.
It seemed like it. Mm-hmm. I didn't look at you, but I saw you suddenly both look up in the display that we have down here. It's weird news time. It's time for some weird video game news. Did you know that you can submit weird video game news by going to our socials? And sometimes we do a post early in the week and we say, send us your weird game news, and then we'll maybe feature it here. This section, though, is brought to us by our fantastic, wonderful, beautiful, handsome...
He remembered.
...podcast producers. I did add a lot of time to think
about
it.
The plops have brought him back.
The plops have brought clarity to mine brain. Mm. Yeah. These wonderful podcast producers support us at a certain tier on patreon.com/teamtriplejump. And if you'd like to become a podcast producer, sponsor Weird News, then hop over there. Check it out.
This week's Weird News is sponsored by Nathan.
Cajun Aquinox.
Check it, Omega.
Sean Legg.
G.Y. Goliath.
Corey Duffel.
Ellie Nicholas.
Erica Hutchins.
Melody L. Bonnet.
Katie Garrett or Jared.
And Gabrielle Philipping.
Gabrielle Philipping. Thank you so much, podcast producers. Peter, what's your weird news?
It's from Cameron Keywood, who sent it to us on something, Facebook maybe. Who knows? Cameron knows. This is from Kotaku.com, written by Luke Plunkett, and it's filed under odds and ends.
Oh, odd.
And ends.
Random. Headline. The drummer from The Police has a weird Activision executive story.
Mm. Tell us about the drummer from The Police, Peter. You know this one.
I could tell you about the drummer from The Police, but the opening of the article tells you about the drummer from The Police. Okay. So although I know this one, I'll let Luke take the reins.
Is there something about him?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm excited to find out.
Here are two essential facts about Stuart Copeland. First is that he was the drummer for The Police.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the band, the law enforcement organization. Yeah. Roxanne, etc. Second is that he composed the soundtracks to the three original Spyro the Dragon games.
And did a special track for the Reignited Trilogy, right?
He did, yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah, after they'd got someone else in to recreate all of the music, they sort of then contacted him and he was like, oh, yeah, are you making it? Oh, okay. Damn. I could have sent you all like the MIDI and stuff. And they're like, oh, okay. And then they got him to do the title sequence.
Na, 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 na.
You will need to keep both of these things in mind for this story, says Luke.
Okay.
Copeland was recently interviewed by Vulture, and at the very end, after spending an age talking about his past, his musical tastes, and some thoughts on people's reception to his and the Police's work, he recounts a story about the private school his kids go to and how he had a deeply coincidental meeting with one parent in particular who he doesn't outright name but claims to be an executive, an Activision. Thank you, Luke.
For that.
As he remembers, and this is all a quote now, my kids go to private school on the west side of Los Angeles, and they have an annual gala. They have annual gala events and fundraisers. The parents donate something like 2 weeks in a Swiss chalet or whatever, and I'm the cheapskate, so I say, "Drum lesson by Stuart Copeland." At some point, a dad brings his kid over, and the kid could care less. That's an improper use of that phrase.
Yeah.
But the dad's fanboying about the Police. Basically, I tell the dad's stories and show the kids how to hold the sticks. But one year, a dad comes over with no kid. He wants a drum lesson. It's a pretty expensive school. He must have achieved something in life. I show him a few things on the drums. I'm gently trying to find out, are you a musician? You play in a band? But he sees my Spyro frame, which says triple platinum. He says, oh, Spyro, do you enjoy those games? I said, yeah, I'm actually thinking of taking Spyro and orchestrating it and turning it into an orchestral piece. That's what he used for the main menu in Reignited. I just have to find the guy who now owns the copyright. And he responded, I can help you with that. I own them. I'm the CEO of Activision. Now that you mention it, we ought to reissue that game. So 2 years later, they reissued it. They rebuilt it from the ground up.
And it was Bobby Kotick.
Now, I don't know if I believe this story. Stuart Copeland seems like a lovely man. And there's some really interesting documentary footage of him making the Spyro soundtrack. And he's just like jamming on his computer. And then he just turns to the camera and goes, they pay me for this. It's great.
Classic.
I love that he's like, I won't name who it was, but he's
it was
the CEO
of
Activision.
Yeah. But did it really come from Stuart Copeland, who then was subsequently not involved in the project whatsoever until...
That's a great point, Stuart. Now that you mention it, we should invest millions of dollars in recreating those games.
The article continues by Luke Plunkett. Now that he's mentioned it, if you've ever wondered what Spyro would sound like with an orchestra, Copeland has indeed gone on to play some of it, alongside his other hits, with a live accompaniment, as you can see below. And there's a video embedded that's like 8 seconds long, and I don't think is even necessarily taken directly from Spyro. I think it's been improperly uploaded to YouTube. Then there's been an update. This story has been updated to reflect that Copeland does not name the executive. We've reached out to clarify the identity of the person in the story. I mean, he does literally say
it
was the CEO
of Activision. I own Activision. I am the CEO
of
Atari. Activision.
I am the Atari.
Atari is mine now.
There's comments below. Just goes to show how useless CEOs are. They need random strangers to give them the idea to re-release and sell a beloved game
Hang
they
on.
Own.
He's not
a random stranger.
Well, but then there's a reply underneath that says, it says far more that the CEO of the company that owns the rights to one of the most well-known franchises, that's a bit of a stretch, didn't realize the super famous drummer he was with very famously orchestrated the soundtrack for the game. He should have at least heard it in passing at some point just through work. He either does not car or does not listen or both.
Or he busts.
I does not car.
What does
I only bust.
Then what was Bobby Kotick doing there?
I don't,
if he didn't know who he was.
He wanted a drum lesson.
He just wanted a drum lesson.
He was at the private school annual fundraiser gala.
Right.
He didn't want to buy the two weeks in a Swiss chalet.
No, he wanted a drum lesson.
He heard you can get a drum lesson from Stuart Copeland.
But apparently he didn't know who Stuart Copeland is. That's what the confusion
he
is.
He just wanted a drum lesson.
He knew he was the drummer from the police, but not the guy who did Spyro, which he owns the rights to.
Well, just go get a drum lesson,
Bobby. Bobby Kotick, you're such a weirdo.
It's baffling. I don't know if it's That's why I don't think it's sort of true. But yeah. I don't want to say that about Stuart Copeland because he seems case lovely.
Of mistaken identity, maybe.
Yeah, possibly.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
It might not have been the CEO. I think he says CEO, but maybe it wasn't. Mm. Don't know. But there you go. It's a bit of a weird story.
That is weird.
That is weird. Mm. Thank you, Cameron.
Thank you, Cameron. Ashton.
I have a weird news story. It wasn't submitted by anyone, but one of our editors, Liam, sent it in the group chat this morning, and I went, that sounds funny.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah, I'm going to go for this
one. It's kind of strange.
It's on VG247, which I assume is video game 24/7.
That's too much video game.
Maybe.
Isn't it? It is.
Under the, I don't know what this subheading is. The subheading is gin and juice.
Oh, that's a Snoop reference.
He likes gin and juice.
Yeah.
So you
like
gin and
too.
Juice.
I like gin and juice.
You and Snoop would get on really
we
well.
We would. We absolutely would. This is written by Stephanie Nunnally. Snoop Dogg is coming to Call of Duty Vanguard and Warzone as an operator. Bow, wow, wow, yippee, yippee, yo, yippee, yay.
Yes, good. Thank you.
And
Ashton.
So on and so forth.
Ashton, thank you so much for that.
It's okay. It's what the subheading said. This April, a new operator is coming to three Call of Duty games, Call of Duty Mobile, Vanguard, and Warzone, and it's none other than the DOGG himself.
Just eat.
That's right. Martha Stewart's best friend, Snoop Dogg, is coming to Call of Duty as a playable operator. The first opportunity to play as the dog father will be in Season 3 of Call of Duty Mobile through a special lucky draw beginning on the 1st of April. Do you think it's actually an April Fool's joke? Because it's coming on the 1st of April.
I think it would only be an April Fool's if they announced it on April Fool's, right?
Maybe? Yeah.
Probably.
The lucky draw has him decked out in a 24K gold embroidered outfit. It also includes a new signature weapon based on a fast-firing legendary SMG that's gold-plated and diamond-encrusted. It also features a unique death effect, and it becomes even flashier as you earn eliminations.
Is the unique death effect live streaming for 7 hours straight without realizing?
Yeah.
That's great.
In Call of Duty, Vanguard and Warzone, the Snoop Dogg operator bundle, complete with his voice and new lines, will be available on April 19th, and the bundle is something entirely separate from the Snoop Dogg you'll see in Call of Duty Mobile. God, there's lots of ads on this. The Warzone and Vanguard operator bundle will include 10 items, 3 exclusive to Vanguard, and a full operator progression track. Rewards across the 20 levels of operator progression include weapon XP for Snoop's preferred weapon from Vanguard. For weapon XP for Snoop's preferred weapon from Vanguard, 3 alternate outfits, and other cosmetic items. This won't be the first time Snoop dropped into Call of Duty. Surely you remember the voice of a pack he did to Call of Duty Ghosts. Full details on Snoop Dogg operator bundle, as well as the full list of items, will be dropped on April 19th. There he is, look.
Mm. There he is, yeah.
What are they doing?
Do you guys remember when Snoop Dogg fought in World War II?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you guys remember
that? Saved the world.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
I mean, they've already got bloody Rambo.
Snoop Dogg killed Hitler.
And yeah. John McClane running around in there. I don't know. It's just
Snoop's done other video game stuff before as well. He was a big part of the PR for Spyro Reignited, which, as we know, was an idea by Stuart Copeland.
Yes, yeah. Stuart Copeland came up with that.
And another Stuart Copeland link to that article is that Stuart Copeland has said, he's going to be adding all of the Spyro soundtrack to Spotify from every game he worked on, which is like 6 games or 8 games or something. Mm. But he says it's being added on the 1st of April. And now everyone's like, is it an April Fool's joke if you announce it like a month ahead and then...
It is if he just uploads it and it's just Rick Astley.
Yeah.
Does he have the rights to that music?
It's just like...
Maybe if he's re-recorded it.
Well, he spoke to Bobby about it.
Best friend Bobby.
When he gave him a drum lesson.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you can have rights to do like... Maybe he's like done covers of the tracks, got the rights to do his own version of it again and put that on Spotify. But
Maybe.
Do you have some weird news, Ben?
I actually do, yes. This was sent in by Stephen Skodes on Twitter. And the story is from Nintendo Life, written by Katie Gray.
Random!
Jealous husband sells wife's Harvest Moon collection to stop her marrying virtual men.
Oh, no.
Here we go. The subreddit, r/amitheasshole, or AITA for short, is designed for people to relay a scenario that they experienced and ask advice from the internet as to whether they whether or not, sorry, they behaved correctly. The comments usually universally decide between YTA, you're the asshole, NTA, not the asshole, NAH, no assholes here, yep, and ESH, everyone sucks here. The subreddit is usually full of three types of posters. Those who know they are in the right but really want validation. Those who have put up with someone else's awful behavior but have been cowed into thinking they are in the wrong somehow. And utterly deplorable people who think they're great until the subreddit tells them otherwise. Mm. When an Am I the Arsehole post falls into the latter category, it's always a good day for dunking on the person involved. Early on Monday, the 21st of March, a Reddit account called IndividualRhubarb396 posted about selling his wife's collection of Harvest Moon games.
That's
because,
a burner account, isn't it?
Absolutely. Because as he put it, I expect her to commit to me alone and not these virtual husbands. The post has been deleted, but thank heavens for screenshots like the one above so we can all appreciate the deliciously horrifying words within.
Does it write out what he said, or is it?
It's I can read it.
I think you should read it. Have you seen this?
I saw the article, but I knew that Ben was bringing it along, so I've not read the actual post.
No, okay. Yeah.
Am I the arsehole for selling my wife's collection of Harvest Moon games? I, male, 32, just married this woman, female, 24, and I intend on us being a committed couple. I tolerated her love of farming simulation games like Harvest Moon and Stardew Valley, but now that we're married, I expect her to commit to me alone and not these virtual husbands. While she was at work, I put up her old Harvest Moon GameCube and GBA games up on eBay. I intend on giving her the money after they sell. I'm also going to sit her down and make her uninstall Stardew Valley. You don't see me buying body pillows of scantily clad anime girls or simping over fictional women, and I expect her to not do the same for fictional men. She knew I was uncomfortable with her marrying virtual men. She doesn't have any male friends and claims that these virtual men could never replace me, but I don't believe her. Anyway, am I in the right? Also, if the genders were reversed, would she be the asshole?
What, if he was marrying women in Harvest Moon, she would be the asshole to do the same thing to him, yeah. Because that's ridiculous.
Yep.
Imagine you're so emotionally and masculinity fragile that video game men threaten your relationship with your
when
wife.
When she even doesn't have any real life male friends as well. So there isn't, oh Christ.
It's sad.
They've just got married as well. That's the basis of
annulment.
Their...
Annulment.
Yeah.
Annulment. Run as fast as you can away from this man.
Yeah.
And also, whatever the reason, you shouldn't be selling anyone's stuff while they're out at work, you know?
No. Oh, and he's also going to sit her down and force her to uninstall Stardew Valley, which is definitely a game about steamy relations and not stuffing your farm full of pigs and wine casks for ultimate profit margins. Needless to say, the internet is enraged, and we like to imagine it's because Harvest Moon isn't even a particularly sexy game. Mm. As soon as you get married, you basically live in a chaste existence, just like you did as a single farmer, only now there's someone else in your house, and they don't even help with the farm work.
Was it an early... I think it was Harvest Moon, one of the early games. If you're playing as a woman and you get married, the game ends. But if you're playing man, it continues.
Oh, my God.
It might not be Harvest Moon, but it's a game in that genre where...
That's really bad.
Yeah, if you become a farmer's wife, like the credits just roll.
Maybe that's why he's confused, because he says, well, you're playing as a woman, so surely the game should end. Why are you still playing?
So you must be cheating on me.
What's going on?
Quite a few people have theorized that the post is fake, since the OP, original poster, seems to be utterly confused by people calling him an asshole, and the post itself has since been deleted, and his account too. But whether or not it's fake, we're baffled by the particularity of being jealous of Harvest Moon husbands. I mean, you can't even kiss them. There is then a poll underneath, which Harvest Moon husband would you choose over this asshole? And there are all the potential Harvest Moon husbands.
Oh, there's pictures.
You can vote. I'm gonna go for Rock. Vote. Who's winning? Cliff is winning with 26%.
Cliff, hot stuff.
Yeah, Cliff's pretty hot, to be fair.
I mean, I must admit, when you were reading that, I thought, is this real slash legs? Is this real or legs? I don't know.
Is this legs or fake?
Is this legs or hands?
But it could be real, I think. There are people like that.
There definitely are people like that. I do often, you hear these horror stories and you wonder how... it even reached the point of marriage without any of these red flags showing up. But then I think we've all been in relationships where there are several red flags and you realize after the fact that, oh, maybe people thought that about me as well.
Yeah.
But that's a bad one. There's a lot of trust issues there.
I don't even think it's trust issues. I just think she's a psychopath. Insane.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow.
That's my weird news.
Thanks, Ben.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
Ben. It's time for question three. It's from Conroy Milk, who says, good name. It is a good name.
Good name.
Greetings, BAP. New patron and first-time question asker here.
Thanks, Conroy.
Thank you and welcome.
Thank
you. There's obviously been a lot of discussion surrounding Elden Ring and the ways in which it deviates from traditional game development, especially from other game developers. So my question is this. Do you think that some game developers may get the wrong impressions about what makes Elden Ring so popular and simply make their games harder without balancing other aspects of their game to accommodate these changes? Thank you, Conroy. In regards to the first sort of part of your question, I've got a little excerpt here from Aaron Greenbaum at Den of Geek, who did a little write-up on some of the reaction from certain video game developers and publishers pertaining to Elden Ring. Recently, three members of prominent game studios voiced their dissatisfaction over Elden Ring. They were Ahmed Salama of Ubisoft, Rebecca Fernandez-O'Shea of Nixie Software, and Blake Rabouche of Guerrilla Games. Salama expressed frustration that Elden Ring scored a 97 on Metacritic, despite him thinking the game had a bad game UX, that's user experience. He perhaps jokingly claimed it was the result of game developers using CRT monitors and smoking on the job. While O'Shea criticized Elden Ring's graphics and stability, and Rabouche mentioned that they disliked the game's quest design. The initial response to those opinions was so overwhelmingly negative that Salama, O'Shea, and Rabouche have since decided to lock their Twitter accounts, although sites such as MPissed have already screenshotted the original comments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some. This was doing the rounds the other week. Some developers being very outspoken in their criticism of the game, but it wasn't just like I don't like it. It was, well, I guess people don't care about good UI design anymore, and it just came across as a bit
very
obnoxious.
Green-eyed.
I think
they shouldn't
be
abused on social media, to be clear. But
no,
it wasn't a good look for them.
The only one who I think kind of had a little bit of a leg to stand on was, I think Rebecca commented about the PC game being buggy and not running
properly.
It's apparently
quite unstable,
which is
on PC.
Which is true. Like, it's not running perfectly. And this was like almost very immediately after it came out. So there was definitely bugs and stuff. So she actually was telling the truth. The PC version was buggy, but also like to kind of chime in and be like, yeah, well, they don't really know what they're doing today is kind of a little bit.
I think it's because it's, you know, as I often quote from this famed philosopher, but as, you know, Taylor Swift once said, people do throw rocks at things that shine. It's because it's got an absurd Metacritic score.
Yeah.
And I think whether or not that score is justified is a whole other conversation. But because it's scored so highly, people will be hypercritical. And I just don't think it reflects well on you to say, this game that everyone seemingly loves and has scored really well is crap because in my job, we do it differently.
Yeah. And it didn't look good either that I believe this was all in one thread. They were all replying to each other.
Yeah.
Like if you would just had your own Twitter account and just put like, man, in my opinion, I think like you should really focus on PC stability and, you know, I don't really see why it's rated quite as highly as it is with such an unstable PC, whatever. But it was like, I guess Elden Ring fans don't like a good UX then. And then someone replied under that and was like, yeah, or stable games. And then under that, it was whatever the other one is.
They're allowed to have
quest design.
Yeah. They're allowed to have these opinions, but it, you know, Twitter is such a public media. Like, I have so many opinions that I will just not share on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because it's not even worth, like, nothing controversial, to be perfectly clear. But, like, it's just, I just think sometimes I'll think about posting something and then I'll think, I can already see that there's going to be some dick who just, like, just goes off on one about my bad opinion and I just can't be arsed.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just not worth even doing that.
Absolutely. But so that kind of is the first part of the question. I think we all disagree with people voicing their opinions in that way, and as Ashton says, I think there's a reasonable point to be made about the stability on PC, but Conroy really is asking, do you think some game developers may get the wrong impression about what makes Elden Ring popular and simply make their games harder without balancing other aspects to accommodate these changes? I mean, people throw around Souls-like and the Dark Souls of a lot. And sometimes that's journalists using the phrase when actually there probably wasn't even an intention on the part of the developer or publisher to produce a game akin to a Soulsborne game. Mm. However, I think you can see the influences of the genre elsewhere now, where it's clearly actually quite intentional. One that springs to mind for me is Jedi Fallen Order, but there are a whole bunch. In fact, we've even done a list on it, haven't we, about
Souls-likes.
Neo,
The Surge, that kind of stuff.
And I don't know. I think it's, as is often our answers in on this podcast, I think it's kind of case by case. I think there are some games that do it very well. They understand the nuance. I mean, I'm not the best person to answer this question, but even I know from having had conversations like this and from, you know, reading about the games and what makes them appealing, I understand that it's not as simple as a game just has to be really difficult and that's what makes it a Souls-like. And that is where you get journalists, using the phrase erroneously. But there's a lot more to it. There's, you know, you can have difficult combat, for example, but if you've got the right tools to be able to dodge around and choose the right moment to do either a light or a heavy attack and things like that, I think that goes a long way. So it really comes down to whether a developer has identified the nuance. And I think the simple answer is that some developers do and some developers don't. And they think that the latter party think that what people want nowadays is a really hard game. And that's what they're looking for. And that's not the appeal of a Dark Souls game, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's kind of being able to overcome that difficulty through good game design. And then there's a whole bunch of other stuff as well. There's, you know, there's the lore and the interesting like multiplayer and winding paths and things like that. But as I say, I'm not really the best person to answer.
I think that devs are less likely to see it. I think it's the CEOs of Activision who will have been mid drum lesson and heard someone talking about Elden Ring I think we should make our game like that. Can we make our game hard? People like hard game. Let's make our game hard. We can do that, right? Yeah. Okay, cool. We'll do that then. Like, that's kind of, I think, more likely to be the thing that happens. But I also think that people aren't stupid enough to think that, like, FromSoft games are easy to kind of make and easy to replicate. So I think that there would be possibly people being like, we need to make a game that's just like this. We need to get rid of all of our UI. We need to just make people have to note things down instead of having to, like, you know, put things in a quest log. That's what we should do. But I do think that I think people will take elements of what Elden Ring has done really well and potentially put them in their games. And I think that also that might benefit a lot of games. I think we were talking about last week about UI and stuff. And I think that, you know, if people see that game and they go, maybe we'll like limit our UI a little bit more and kind of have a look at how we can make our game look a bit more, I don't want to say realistic, but you know,
kind of cinematic.
Yeah, cinematic. And, yeah. I think that, you know, it's not a bad thing. I don't know if Elden Ring is going to be, is quite game-changing quite literally for the games industry. I don't know if it's going to be one of those, like, this game sparked a whole new wave of games being made and changed the gaming industry as we know it. I don't think it's going to be like that. But I do think that it has a lot of things that people have liked that other companies may be like, well, we can do that and we can put that in to, because people like it. So, yeah.
I mean, Elden Ring itself is a deviation to an extent from the usual formula. Yeah. It's got the open world and stuff. But
But like I said, I agree with what you said. So your turn now.
My turn now. There's a special sauce that From Software has that I have never seen fully replicated anywhere else to the extent. And there are a lot of pretenders to From Software's crown. And I'm not talking about games that have Souls-like elements like Jedi Fallen Order, which has sort of similar, you know, over the shoulder, lock-on action, combat kind of stuff.
Exploring levels. And
yeah, exactly. Sort of the backtracking and things, which again is inspired, you know, by Metroidvanias and things like that. But there's just something that's kind of like a perfect storm of strange, obtuse decisions seemingly that kind of just work together so well. Like, weird NPCs, quest lines that you can completely miss that aren't marked in any kind of menu, strange ambiguous lore, foreboding dangerous locations, tough combat that you can overcome because it's really well designed, even though it's hard. And it all sort of comes together to create this experience that's, again, it's like it's unlike anything else that I've really ever played before. Whenever I start up a From Software game, they always have this same foreboding atmosphere. Like they're just sort of kind of, it's scary. Like it's scary, but not in a survival horror way. It's just a bit sort of unsettling and frightening and a bit strange. And when you look at any of those elements in isolation, like the UI, like the quest design, if you even want to call it that, then you could, I suppose, say it's rubbish and doesn't make any sense and like it's incomplete and lazy or unfinished. But it, as far as it goes with From Software, it's extremely intentional. Like it's designed that way for a reason, to combine with the other elements to produce a game that is unlike any other game. And it's absolutely not for everyone, and you can criticize it however you like, but it is a bitter pill to swallow, excuse me, to see developers, established developers who work on completely different genres saying, that is rubbish, objectively.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's not true, though, because it clearly works. And I don't know if these people held these opinions about Dark Souls or Demon Souls or Bloodborne or whatever.
Yeah, it's weird to kind of come out now and
but
say
now
that.
Now to say it. I don't know if it's just because it's in an open world, but I think across the board, it's largely agreed that these core facets of From Software games work that much better in an open world. So to criticize it now is even stranger. Not every game needs this. I don't want like weird, ambiguous, untrackable quests in The Witcher or Skyrim or Assassin's Creed, or you know, strange NPCs in Call of Duty punishing Call of Duty combat. You know, it does. Yeah. It's only in these games where it really works. And I just think you can criticize it and you cannot like it, and that's fine. But saying it's bad is strange. At times it's frustrating, like especially if you're trying to follow some kind of quest line and it's like really obscure and you do have to look up a guide or whatever, but it's intentional, it is designed that way. And to imply otherwise is just, it's not accurate at all.
Yeah it's part of the package. It's the whole, it's written on the tin kind of thing, like to say, oh, like people who like these games must not like the traditional user experience. Well, yeah, that's like saying, oh, people who jump out of planes must like
not like being on the ground.
They must like jumping out of planes. Yeah, they do. People who like the weird user experience of Soulsborne games like the weird user experience of Soulsborne games. It doesn't mean that they want that same experience in every game, like you say. Yeah. Skydivers don't jump off buses. Like,
they need to stand at the exit to the bus and put their goggles on.
So it's just a strange thing to say the more you think about it. Like, to list all these things that are, like you say, kind of inherent in the design and they're part of Soulsborne games, to say, so weird that Soulsborne fans like these things. No,
strange,
it's not.
Strange, isn't it? It's a shame they're so rubbish, 97% on Metacritic. It's a shame they're so rubbish, Bloodborne's like 91% on Metacritic or something.
I just think it, especially with Elden Ring, there's been so much kind of like, I mean, from my perspective, from enjoying Horizon and having the minute Elden Ring came out, just an absolute onslaught of people being like, Horizon is the worst, like it's rubbish, like it's not as good as Elden Ring, she's got a beard, dead game. And I'm like, well, it's not, everyone likes different things and every game is different and every gamer is different. And to say that one thing is bad because another thing is good is not quite correct. You can like how Horizon and Ubisoft games work, and you can like how Elden Ring works. They are not mutually exclusive.
They don't have to be the same though, do they?
You know, everyone likes different kinds of games, and to say that, well, you must not like this because you like something else, or you cannot like this because you like something else, is just ridiculous. Like, on one of our TikToks is about Horizon and Elden Ring, and like the comments are just people arguing about whether Horizon is or Elden Ring is better, and people just being like, well, Elden Ring is bad because of this. And it's like, well, Elden Ring may be bad for you because of this, but it doesn't mean that this person who enjoys Elden Ring is incorrect. And I think to slag off another game that people are enjoying because it's not your cup of tea is like just really horrible. Because if someone who's really enjoying a game sees everyone being like, this game's rubbish, this game sucks, if you like this game, you're stupid. You're like, well, I really liked this game. And then you feel bad because people are making you feel bad because they're saying your game is rubbish.
And they shouldn't do that. And also no. Horizon has been dealt a real flipping bum hand on both occasions.
But it's also Zero still Dawn doing really out. Well.
Well, yeah, it's also, both games are excellent. Yeah. But Zero Dawn came out
just before
Breath of the Wild and Forbidden West, just before Elden Ring, which has sold some like 12 bajillion copies or something like that. And it's just, it's so, such poor timing. The next Horizon game needs to just pick a date that is not surrounded by any games that could completely steal its thunder.
Yeah.
It's such a shame because it's clearly, the new one, I haven't played it, clearly an exceptional game. Good. First game was phenomenal, really, really liked that. But they've just come out at times when something has completely overshadowed them. And it's so sad. It's so sad.
But it's fine.
People like to criticize things, you know, and sometimes they should just
be quiet.
Just sit their
butts down,
shut their butts down. They should just have their butts shut.
Yeah. They should get Quentin Tarantino to shut their butt down.
Your butt down.
No more plops for you. Your butt
is
shut down.
Your butt is officially
forever
shut down.
Like yours was at the end of last week.
Exactly. My butt is now shut down.
Completely. Mm-hmm.
Forever.
We've got Quentin in.
It's time for the big discussion. It's big discussion time. Time for the big discussion, which comes this week courtesy of Fergus Jeffs, who says, "Hey Peter, Ashton, and the returning Ben. Hello. On Tuesday, CD Projekt Red announced The Witcher 4, or just, we don't know if it's the fourth Witcher, with a promotional image containing the game's title, slogan, and zero in-game footage. On the same day, Illfonic announced Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed with an 87-second trailer that showed off the game's graphics, stories, and characters, including the appearances of Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson. In your personal opinion, when is the right point in a video game's development cycle to first announce its future existence to the world? And does this time of initial announcement change depending on the game? Congrats on reaching a well-deserved 200K. Onwards and upwards, Fergus Jeffs."
Thank you, Fergus Jeffs.
Thank you, Fergus Jeffs.
It's a good question, Fergus Jeffs. I mean, strictly speaking, They could bring out The Witcher in 2 weeks' time. Like, we don't know how early they've announced this. Yeah. But one can only assume the fact that because it was just very conceptual, it's probably going to be a long time. So
I don't understand. If it's going to be a long time, I don't understand why CD Projekt Red haven't learnt from their mistakes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if we have to remind them of Cyberpunk 2077 and how well that went down for the two plus years that it was being marketed in everywhere, every conference, every like announcement trailer was always everywhere. And if this Witcher isn't coming out this year or early next year, and we're going to have to wait over like 2 years again, well, I guess who's digging themselves another hole?
Well, it might be that because they are like so on the back foot from Cyberpunk that they might have thought, what we need is a bit of good news. What we need is to try and sweeten everyone. Let's say that the next Witcher's come out. It's not going to be out till 2026, but let's tell everyone it's coming out.
Yeah.
I think, really, it's really nice when a game is announced relatively, like maybe like within the same year that it comes out. That's always a lovely treat.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, exactly. It's just you don't have a long wait. You are waiting for that game without knowing, you know, while it's being made. These games probably take the same length of time, you know, like for like games take just as long to make as each other, but then you don't feel like you're waiting. And suddenly they say, hey, you know what's coming out? Guardians of the Galaxy. It's coming out in a few months' time. And you can just get excited. That's probably the start of their campaign, and they just continually release things as well at that point to keep you, you know, on the boil. Whereas, you know, even with something like The Witcher, we can be excited about it now. And hypothetically, if it came out in 2 years, it's probably unlikely now we're going to hear anything about this for a while. So you don't even have something that's kind of like keeping the plate spinning and keeping the hype going. So, you know, it essentially affects wait time, even though the development time is probably the same. And the biggest risk is that, you know, probably unlikely in the case of The Witcher, for example, but with perhaps some slightly smaller games or like new IP or smaller studios, there's the risk of it becoming vaporware or, you know, being in development hell. So why announce a game at such an early stage, this coming, of course, from the Beyond Good and Evil fan, when potentially it might not get made because you're only at the conceptual stage. Just wait until it's like you can see that, you know, it's going to be ready. Mm. It's going to be released. If not now, then soon. Then tell everyone. Don't make a promise that you can't keep, effectively.
It's also kind of embarrassing for you. Like, you promised us a game. Yeah. And now, look, how embarrassing for you.
Having to admit that you're having problems internally, yeah, and stuff. Whereas if you're having problems internally and you've not announced a game, you can just keep that quiet. No one would have to know, really. Mm. So, yeah, I think that those are my thoughts. It's nice to have a short wait. You know, this is coming out this year or whatever. And also, yeah, don't make promises you can't keep.
Mm. I think that, well, for me, I would prefer, like you say, an announcement where it's like, here's gameplay and also the game's coming out in a couple months. Here's a rough date or like a month or something that's coming out. That is my favorite thing. Mm. I think that the issue is, this isn't necessarily pertaining to The Witcher or anything, but I think companies are so encouraged and eager to get things announced at like E3 or like the Game Awards or in a showcase that like they announce things that then we will not see for a very long time. Like the Suicide Squad killed the Justice League, for example, just got delayed to 2023.
Yeah.
But when we last saw a trailer for that in like December, I think at the Game Awards, there was gameplay. They were like 2022. It seemed really positive. Things looked good. And now it's not coming out until 2023. So I suppose there's not any real perfect kind of situation where you can go, if a trailer has this, this, and this, then it's going to come out in this amount of time. However, like you say, if they knew it was going to come out in 2022 and they said it's coming out in 2022, then fair enough. But if they weren't sure it was going to be ready and still said it was going to come out in 2022, because they never gave us a month or like a time. They just said 2022. So they could have like, you know, waited until the end of 2022 and we wouldn't have known if it was coming out yet or not. We didn't know exactly when. We just thought this year. So there's a big 12-month period where it could have come out. And obviously now it's pushed back to 2023 and we still don't know when in 2023. But I just think that for us, we'll never know if a game is ready or not before when we see a trailer or when we see an announcement. Mm. Like you say, Witcher could come out in next month and we would just know about it now. But I think that there's a certain wish from us as players that when we see a game and a trailer, that the game is coming to fruition and in a state in which it will be ready at the time when it's meant to come out. Like God of War, Ragnarok, we still don't know when it's coming out yet.
Mm-hmm.
It says this year, but it could be middle. Who knows? It's a mystery. Every time we think we maybe hear something about it, we don't hear anything. So I think that there's a little bit of leeway that publishers give themselves when they say 2022 and just give us a year. It's always nice to have a date. I think we got Horizon's date, I want to say December. Was it at the last PlayStation State of Play? I don't remember when the date was revealed.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But I think maybe potentially like 6 months before it came out. And we had, a consistent flow of like info and screenshots and promotional material from like pretty much January through till when it came out at the end of Feb. So I do think that there's a correct way of doing it. But whether we see that in the first instance or whether we even know is a different story. Like we know that they're making a Knights of the Old Republic remake, but we don't know anything about it. We don't know when it's coming. We have literally just seen the teaser trailer and that's it. And that's, you know, nice that we're like, oh, it's coming, exciting. But like you say, it could then end up never coming out and we're just waiting for something that's just never coming.
Yeah.
So as much as I love a teaser trailer, I'd like a teaser trailer when 3 months down the line I'm going to get a proper trailer, because you already know it's going to come out in like 6 months. Would be lovely. Thank you so much.
Ben?
I agree. I completely agree. I think we're all in agreement here that we are not seeing this game for at least 5 years.
No,
probably. Yeah. And they did exactly the same thing with Cyberpunk. You're right. Mm-hmm. They did. And I thought that they would have learned a lesson. When this was announced, we were talking about it in our group chat for work on Slack. And I said there that they should have just gone quiet, and let the heat die down on them, because yes, they've released the next gen versions of
and it's got
Cyberpunk.
Quite a lot of hype. It's quite good.
A lot of people are very happy with
really
it,
good.
And that's good. And we're still waiting on a next gen version of The Witcher 3 as well, which they're working on. So that's all coming. But they just need to just shut up.
Just calm
just
down.
Just shut up. Do as much criticism as
shut
you know.
Your
we often
down.
They're the oft cited example. Mm-hmm. But Hello Games after No Man's Sky. They just shut up.
Yeah.
And they were criticized for shutting up as well, I should point out. But they went quiet and they went away. They let everything die down and they worked their asses off on making it better. Now, they don't have to make anything better here, but what they should have done is just been quiet for a bit. Just shut up and just like go under the radar for a little while. Make something that's actually showable, or just wait until it's ready to announce and then release that year, maybe, and then say, bam, Witcher, here it is, we're back. Issue is, though, that they're a publicly traded company and their stocks have been in the toilet since Cyberpunk launched, and they are in desperate need, as you said, Peter, of like some kind of boost in publicity a boost in popularity as well, because while they are an extremely famous and successful studio, their name is kind of dirt, and they need to get back on track, and a new Witcher game could well be the way to do that, but it is clearly in the extremely early stages, and nobody likes an announcement of a game like this. Like, no, nobody wants just a little it's now in development teaser. No one wants that.
No.
I don't want that. Didn't like it with Mass Effect Andromeda when they showed us concept art for like 4 years. We don't like it with the new Dragon Age where they're doing the same thing again, and the new Mass Effect where they're doing the same thing again. I don't understand why these companies can't just quietly work on this stuff.
Elder Scrolls, like Starfield's still not out. Starfield's been talked about for years and years and years, and yeah, it's coming now, so we're told. But before they've even got to releasing Starfield, they said Elder Scrolls 6.
Yeah,
that was like a year ago now.
Oh, longer than that.
Was it?
They showed absolutely nut. I think it was maybe pre Triple Jump. Maybe was it 2018?
It wasn't that early, was it?
Was it?
Oh well, I'm talking about when they showed that actual teaser.
Yeah, no, that's the one I'm talking about. We'll have to double check.
Was that long ago?
It was a while ago.
I thought it was at Triple Jump.
It may well have been at Triple Jump. It's been a while, though.
Yeah, they just showed a clip of just a landscape that they probably just mocked up out of nowhere. It wasn't based on anywhere in Tamriel or Cyrodiil, whichever one it is the whole continent. And people were going like, oh, look at this feature. This could mean it's in Elsewhere or whatever. And No. They probably hadn't even, they might have decided where it was going to be. But like, Jesus Christ, like Starfield's not even out. Stop talking about Elder Scrolls.
It was teased and we finally saw it confirmed at E3 2018.
Yeah,
that's 4 years ago.
Wow, it is 4 years ago. It's that time pandemic, man. I lost 2 years of my
life.
Yeah,
I know.
It was like one big year.
And we've only spoken about bigger stuff, obviously, because you know, I think that the Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed is going to be on a far smaller scale than The Witcher, obviously.
Kind of excited for it though.
Are you? I don't really give a flying flip about Ghostbusters. I must say, a rat's ass about Ghostbusters, but I'm happy for people, and I really hope that that's going to be good. And they've gone about it the right way. Mm-hmm. Hey, this game exists. Here's 87 specific seconds of gameplay and some various announcements. This was just The Witcher. Oh boy, we're doing
hey,
it.
Hey, look. We remember that we have this.
CD Projekt, please. You
they
must.
Just, I'll tell
you
another just one. Calm down.
The Indiana Jones, where it was just a hat on a table. And that was it.
Rubbish.
Same with
don't do it.
Wolverine
2. Shwee. Don't do it. And I mean, even the Spider-Man 2 is like years and
that's
years
true.
Away. Don't
like, we are excited
do that.
About
stop
it.
It.
And people are like hyped. But this hype now, like I haven't thought about the Wolverine game until, you know, this second, since we saw the trailer. I just like. What's been like what? December, January, February, March, 4 months since we saw the trailer and we've heard nothing else. It's been 4 months since we saw Spider-Man 2 and we've heard nothing else. And it's like, okay, cool. But by the time you're like hyping us up again, we've all forgotten.
You may as well just waited.
You may as well just waited and let us know something decent.
The only problem is, I think we sort of want to have our cake and eat it because we complain a lot about when like an E3 is over. We're like, Well, there was nothing there. Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah.
Fair.
So
I totally agree.
But
I personally, I think the perfect amount of time max, you know, not counting delays, which are never foreseeable, in some cases anyway, and a year and a half. I think you can announce a game for next year and that's okay. But if you're not, but you kind of have to give a release window. I'm fed up of seeing like ambiguous CG trailers for things that we have no clue when they're coming.
It's just coming soon.
Great. So that exists and it's exciting to know that it exists, but we're going to be hearing about this game for years and it will be little tidbits like lead quest designer such and such teased that the game will have over 5,000 million lines of recorded dialogue. It's like, great. That's,
and then you hear nothing for just 4 months.
Show me the bloody game. Stop it. But you are right, Peter. We do, you know, we like the exciting announcements. And I'm excited that there is a new Witcher coming. I don't think anybody doubted for a second that there wouldn't be a new Witcher at some point. But, you know, it's too early. Wait until you've got... this game is not going to come out.
Just
it might not even come out in this decade. Yeah, I hope you realise that.
That's possible.
I hope you realise that. Just wait. Just be patient. You don't have to do it unless you've got stockholders and shareholders who are saying, our stock price is in the toilet. You've lost us a lot of money. You must go and announce it. And we're gonna recast Geralt as Henry Cavill for the voice, and he's gonna look like Henry Cavill from the show. And some people will be really cross, and some people will be really horny, and we'll just meet in the middle.
We'll hit that sweet spot.
You can be both.
We'll be fine. You can be both cross and horny.
He's so angry.
I'm mad about how turned on I am.
Yes,
yeah.
Hungry. What? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, hungry. It just sounds like you're combining horny and hungry, though. Yeah. Right? No.
I'm hungry.
Well,
I'm so hungry.
There we are. We've invented a new cursed word.
Just for you.
Let us know what you thought of everything we spoke about this week. Of course, you can do so in the comments. And also, you can find us at various other places if you want to reach out. Peter's going to tell you I'm not writing another love. Blah, blah, blah.
Yep. YouTube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump. You can go there for all of our videos and live streams. If you've got Amazon Prime for that free postage, you can also get a Twitch sub out of that. It's no extra cost. It's all part of the bundle. So why not spend that on us? You'll get all the usual benefits. We'll benefit from it financially as though you're normally subscribed. And something about like people going to the moon, billionaires trying to go to the moon.
Not us.
Not us.
We just want one buffet.
Yeah.
That's all we want.
When we are streaming, we are modded by Lord Brotovich, Trowling Badger, and Mr. Black. Thank you. Twitter.com and Facebook.com/TeamTripleJump for our social media presence, for video and live stream announcements, legacy video content, Facebook Live, if and when we ever do it again. Fraser looks after
Peter's
those.
Peter's got to do one tomorrow.
I'll do
tomorrow.
One.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
You've just decided.
You've got to do one.
I keep talking about it. I keep promising it. I'm just like a video game publisher. Coming in 6 years, a Facebook Live.
Now in development.
Have you done any of them yet?
I did one.
Did you?
We've all done at least one each.
Yeah, we've all done one each.
I think one of us hadn't done it.
Peter's turn, I think, because you did the first one, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm just waiting for Fraser to say, do you want to do a Facebook Live?
And he does say that. That was a good impression.
Pretty good.
It's like he's in the room.
Yeah.
TikTok.com, we've got a TikTok, @TeamTripleJump. You can see Ashton and Fraser on there.
And you.
And me once
what?
This happened.
Yeah.
I
monitored the chats while I was plopping. Yeah, I did see that you did it. How was it?
It was fine. We both sort of
really
looked at
awkward.
It. The problem was it was a full body.
Damn, you guys are
Fraser
awkward.
Was the other end of the room and he had to film us like standing there and you don't know what to do with your hands or legs.
Your legs. And everyone was baffled about the size of Peter when they saw it.
Why is he so big?
Most people said he's not tiny. But then like two people said, wow, he really is small. I was like, what? Which one is it?
Make up your minds.
Yeah.
Is it /@TeamTripleJump?
Yeah. Seemingly, yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
What a stupid website and app. Go follow us.
Finally, from me, patreon.com/TeamTripleJump. You can go there to look at all of our different Patreon tiers. Can get things like early worst and weirdest games ever.
You can bang
your funny bone. You can help pay for Ben's medical bills.
Yes.
So head to Patreon.
My boopers.
Yeah, he's just boopered his funny bone.
Boopered my bellbow.
Yeah.
Is it 1,000 Patreon?
2,000.
2,000
for Billy Fest.
Yeah.
Billy
yeah.
Fest. So yeah, we're a quarter of the way there.
Yeah.
If you're
over.
If you're listening, you should definitely go and give a pound.
Yeah, give us a bond.
We have a website. It's triplej.mup. That's triplej.mp. It spells jump. If you want to listen, if you want to join our Discord even, you go to triplej.mup/Discord. Chat with our amazing community. On Discord, we're modded by Jack, Joe, Tori, and Hollow Eyes.
I'd like to thank Joe, sorry, very quickly. Yeah. She sent me a Game Boy Advance SP.
Oh, wow.
A red one that I didn't have before.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. Okay, next thing.
Yeah.
Podcast. If you want to listen to the podcast.
You didn't say. If they tell you to do something.
Oh, bloody well do it.
Bloody well do it.
If you're listening to the podcast in its audio forms, if you've got a long train journey maybe this weekend to go home to see your mother, why not go to triplej.mup/podcast to find out where you can listen to it in its audio forms. To watch any of the live stream VODs, if you miss any of the live streams during the week that Ben will tell you about in just a moment, you go to triplej.mup/VODs. That's VODS. If you want to buy some sick and cool merch, we're all wrapping today.
I wear matching track jackets today.
Yeah, and I've got the other jacket. You can go to triplejumpshop.com to check out all the merch that is currently available. And follow at triplejumpshop on Twitter to find out about any new merch releases that may or may not be in the process of being produced. So there.
Absolutely. Instagram. Why not follow Peter and Ashton on it? That's at thatpeterostin. And at Scrambled Ashton. It's the same on Twitter for them too. I'm just on Twitter at Confused_Dude. We do lists every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Thursday being the joint stream.
Blaze it.
On YouTube, the solo streams being Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, as you might have guessed, on Twitch. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly Friday for patrons of a certain tier, Sunday for everyone else. Podcast is every Saturday. We do shows all the bloody time. Why not leave a review? A five-star review. Why not leave a five-star review? On iTunes or your platform of choice, it helps something to do with Al Gore's Rhythms. Of course, go follow our Facebook page if you haven't already. 9,000 followers. We're really close now to getting 10,000. There's a quip scope up for Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. Ashton's been playing that, so go listen/look at her thoughts. You can look right at her thoughts.
You can look at them. I haven't put it on Twitter yet, but you can actually at my thoughts.
It's after, a good video.
Yeah. I'm looking at your thoughts. What's Please this? Stop. I don't know this video.
Get rid of this one. I accidentally recorded 45 minutes of me playing the game, but camera, and I cut down to like 1 minute of just the highlights because it's mainly just my face looking pretty mardy.
Ashton's just looking pissed off.
I have a really mardy looking concentration face, and it was extra mardy that day.
Oh, I didn't know you'd actually cut down the footage.
I'll put it on
it.
Twitter. Fantastic. But, it's good.
It's really good.
There's also the moment at the end where I realise, and I'm like,
Just like Snoop.
Just like Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. Indeed. Ashton was trying to capture footage and pressed a button to change
to
her face
I?
Cam without realizing an OBS. So there we are. Yeah, that's good stuff. 200,000 subscriber live stream. We're doing that today at the time of recording. We will be doing a worst game ever. It's Balan Wonderworld. Yeah. Yes, Wonderworld, which is one of the, I think, the second worst reviewed game of last year.
Yeah.
Per our list on the subject. That will not be going on the VODs channel, as with other worst games ever live streams. It will be going on the main channels. And that I believe that will probably be uploaded on Sunday because we've got a space there. So
space there, you
will have to wait a few days to see it if you don't catch it live, but it will be up on the channel this weekend. So keep an eye out. And is that everything? I think it is. Yeah. Excellent. Well,
one more time to thank the sponsor, though.
Yeah, thank you for joining us for episode 150. Mm-hmm. Really appreciate it. You, of course, are our sponsors for this week. 200,000 YouTube subscribers, 9,000 Facebook followers, 5,000 YouTube VOD subscribers, 2,000 TikTok followers, 9,000 Twitch followers.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Thanks for listening/watching, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter.
Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.